Worries.
Okay, Rocio, so thank you for agreeing to talk to me. So we'll get started with the questions. Can you please share with me your age, your preferred gender pronouns, and during what years were you accosted, lady?
My name is Rocio Diaz. My gender pronouns that I prefer to go by are she, her, ella. And the years I was at Cal State LA was from 2012, fall 2012 to 2017, which I believe would be spring 2017.
Were you a student or an undergrad student?
Yes, I was an undergrad student.
Did you came as a transfer student for community college or were you from high school?
I came directly from high school.
From high school. Okay. Where did you go to high school?
I was at Garfield for 2 years, and then I went transfer to Torrance for the last 2 years to then go to Cal State LA.
Okay, may I ask why did you transfer from Garfield to the other school?
My drama teacher at the moment, she told me to join her in her new high school. She was going to be one of the principals in Taurus since they had different academies. So she invited me to join her, and I joined her. And during that time, I was very into art, and I was willing to pursue or go to like one of the best schools to pursue that.
Oh, nice. Was it like the theater that you
Yeah,
were pursuing?
she was a drama teacher, and I wanted to pursue theater at the time.
Oh, that's so nice. Okay. So, in 2012, when you came to Cal State LA, were you a theater major?
Yes, I went into Cal State LA as a theater major.
Okay, nice. Okay, so now let me backtrack a little. That was interesting when people switch schools. Can you share with me your family background? Like, where were you born? Where's your family from?
Yes, so I was born in Puebla, Mexico. My family, my mom, my dad are both from Puebla, Mexico.
Do you remember how old were you when you migrated from Puebla?
Yes, I was 6 years old.
Okay, so you were a little a child, but were you do you have any memories of the journey coming here?
Yes, I have snippets, so I remember like 80% of it.
Do you mind sharing a little bit? I mean, again, you don't have to, you don't want to.
Yeah, of course. So I just remember we left en la noche. I think it was like 12 or 1 p.m. I have to ask my mom specifically what time, but I just remember it was at night. And she just asked us to get up, and we got into this truck. From the truck, I remember going into a plane. From the plane, I remember because once I got off the plane, I had this like pain in my ear since it was my first time being on in an airplane. I remember I was crying. From there, we got transferred to I believe my I just remember being with my going to my uncle and his wife. And then I remember that they took a showers. I remember I was wearing my dress, the last dress I wore when I graduated from preschool or elementary, I believe. And they got rid of our dresses, and they threw everything, and they changed us into American clothes, like sneakers, jeans, and I believe like a shirt, sweater. I also remember like the lady having long nails and really hurting our heads because I don't know, she was doing it too rough and she wasn't being kind. And I just remember it being a long, like a long journey on a car. To me, it seemed like a desert, but I'm not sure if that's what we were going through. And then I just remember waking up because we fell asleep at some point, waking up with my at my tia's house, which is my uncle's sister, which is my mom's family side.
Through the trouble, traveling in the car, were you alone or were your parents?
Through the car, I was with my sister. It was just me and my sister.
Okay. How many siblings do you have?
I have, at the time it was two girls and two boys, so in total we're four. Siblings are three. Now it's three boys and two girls.
Okay, so there was one more born here.
Yeah. The smallest one.
Oh, nice. So younger brother. And are you the oldest sibling?
I'm not. I'm the second to the oldest.
Okay, second. So did every all the whole family migrated with you at the same time?
No. My dad came first, and then we came with my mom. My mom decided to bring us all, which was my sister, myself, and my two younger brothers.
Okay. When you came with your family, with your mom and your siblings, how long had it has had a has it been since you last saw your father? Do you remember?
When we migrated to the US or
Yeah. So, you say your father came first, right? Do you remember
Yes.
how many years before you all joined him?
Okay, yeah. I don't remember, but I've asked my mom. She said it was like about a year.
Okay, so like about a year. I mean, you were pretty young, so maybe I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember. I had to ask my mom.
It's fine. I mean, I'm just trying to get a sense of, where you come from. Okay, so thank you for sharing that. So let me ask a let me backtrack a little on your family history. So when you came to the US, where did do you remember in what area did you live?
When I came to the US,
Yes. Like where LA?
we've been living here, not in this specific house, but here in East LA. Or lo que va siendo la es como la frontera también de Boyle Heights, East LA. We've lived it. We've started in East LA, and then we've just been switching houses here in the same area.
Okay, nice. Nice. So when you came here, you lived in East LA, and let me see, were you placed in elementary school or middle school?
I was placed in elementary.
Elementary. Right.
Yeah, and I got pulled back 1 year. They thought that it was better for me to start get pulled back so I would learn the language better.
And do you think that was the case? Did it help you learn faster or more?
Honestly, learning English has been very traumatic. I think it's very hard for someone who's coming in and is expected to learn English when their primary language is Spanish. I don't know. Those are my feelings. Those have always been my feelings with just, being pulled out of your birthplace and then be put into a different country that you have no idea about, and like be forced to learn another language. I think more so because you feel like, I hate using this word, but you feel alienated, like you're by yourself. I always felt by myself. I always felt like no one understood me. And now that as I'm older, and I realize the public system or schooling system is not the best, I don't think getting pulled back, or I still think that didn't help.
Yes, definitely. I think that I had a really hard time learning English, and I still, have a hard time. But did it have any resources for you to learn English, like a teacher aid or like a special class for you to learn English?
For
In
like in
elementary.
elementary? No, you were just put in the group and ex you were expected to learn English.
Figure it out.
Yeah.
And what about middle school? Was the experience, well, how many years were you in elementary school?
It's like when a child here gets put in elementary, so like I guess it's 5, 6 years. The whole entire,
Oh, the whole theme. So I think it's
the whole
six.
thing.
Is it six or five? I don't know. Yeah,
I think it's 1 through 5, and then
I think it's
elementary 6. Yeah.
okay. Like when I came, I was older and I went to middle school. So that's why I don't know.
Oh, in middle school, they had ESL classes, but even taking those classes made me feel stupid. You
Why?
know? I always felt like I was never good enough with my English because I was put into these classes that like made me feel that way. I didn't feel like that in the class because everyone else that was in there was learning what I was learning. But when you like talk to your friends, and they were taking regular English class or AP English, and you were in ESL, you felt different.
Okay. And do you remember like the other students at the ESL class? Were they also from I don't know. How did they look? They were your age? Were they older, younger?
It was a mixed, and I just remember this girl that was older than me. I think she was at the time, I think she was in 8th grade, and she was in ESL. So, yeah, mixed. I don't think it's very few folks that were the same age as me.
And were they all like the ESL class was like a mixed level, or did they have like one, two, or three? You know how they have levels?
Think it was like 1, 2, and 3. I don't remember the specific ESL class, but it seemed like we were all learning the same thing.
Okay. Okay, so that but the at this point, did you feel a little more comfortable with English?
Yes. I think I stopped being a little less ashamed in middle school.
Nice. And moving a little forward to high school, were you still enrolling ESL classes?
I was not. I was taking regular English classes.
And how did that change your experience from being an ESL student now being a regular English student?
I guess it got rid of the feeling of feeling not enough and feeling like a regular student with other students that were also learning the material that was being taught in that class.
Nice. And you switched schools, right, in high school? So
Yes, I was at Garfield for 2 years and then Taurus.
For the last two to pursue theater. And how did which one did you enjoy more? Well, I'm guessing the one with the theater, right?
It just schools wise, are you referring to schools
Yeah,
in
or
general?
your experience in general.
I felt like it was small. It was smaller, so you got to know everyone. Everyone was very supportive. Everyone in the school knew that I was undocumented and that I wanted to go to school. And it came to a point where the teachers started paying stuff for me because they really wanted me to worry, not worry about certain things. They were a very supportive community that I'm very grateful for, because I don't think where I would have been if it wasn't for them.
Right.
There's a teacher who paid me under the tables just so I could have money in my pocket.
For doing like work in the classroom or like outside the class?
Work like teach one of her classes and she would pay me.
Oh, nice. That's nice.
Yeah.
So how did they find out about your undocumented status?
It was through theater, writing some pieces that I wrote. I'm still into poetry. So when I would like do monologues or write poetry, that's that I would talk about that a lot. It was my way of expressing myself, and so I would just put myself out there, and they understood that I was coming from that.
Okay. Did you remember the first time that you maybe read a poem where you disclose your status, or the first time that you publicly disclose your status to the others?
I think so. I think I just remember reading it. I was just scared. But I eventually did it, and I was crying. But everyone was very supportive.
What were you crying? Oh, I mean, well, what feelings were you experiencing at the time?
Just fear, like fear of what others would think. And or what they would say, because it's not an easy thing to do, to put yourself in, to put yourself out there in public like that.
Right, but I mean, I'm guessing you already felt like welcome in the space for you to do something so brave.
I think the school was, it's focused on art, so I think I felt comfort with art because a lot of the community, our community is very empathetic and welcoming and compassionate. So I always felt safe. From the beginning, and when I did decide to, I guess, come out of the shadows, in front of the teachers and the students and the community there.
Yes, and this was roughly in what year? Maybe 2010?
Yes, 2010.
Right, yeah, okay. So during around this time, there's a lot of undocumented youth activism like everywhere, right? There are publicly speaking, coming out of the shadows, having all these demonstrations. Did you participate in any of that, maybe in or outside your school?
I didn't outside because I wasn't aware of any like groups where I can go to in school. They didn't have a club that focused on that. and that I could join. A lot of it was just very artistic, in the sense of like the Latin dance club that I was part of, or the leadership group that I was part of. But they didn't have like a specific undocumented student support group on campus.
But you were familiar and aware that these activities were happening?
Yes, I was slightly aware. I think I became more aware when it was my senior year, where I had to really I had to reach out to folks that were doing the work, and there were activists that were knowledgeable, that eventually helped me to help me and provided resources for me to learn about the college system.
Right. And how did you become aware, or how did you realize that you needed to find like additional help outside your school to go to college?
A lot of it came from my college advisor. I remember him telling me or asking me if I was going to go to college, and it was a question that I had in mind subconsciously, but not consciously. I just know that the time was coming that we were going to graduate, and I had to figure out my next step. Because it was also a conversation I had to have with my parents, if they were going to support me in any way, or just to let them know. And he asked me, and I told him that I wanted to go, or he specifically asked me where I wanted to go. And I told him, I don't know, I just know I just want to go to college. Do you have any recommendations? And then he literally picked all the colleges for me. I was like, this is what I just want to do. What recommendations do you give me? Because I had no idea. And from there, I think I would, as I started applying, I would ask more questions. And then he's all like, okay, I can't help you with those specific questions, being an undocumented student. So he led me to, I believe it was him, he gave me an email of an activist that had those resources. And that's how I came across in contact with one of them. And I just remember talking to him through email. And he was very helpful. And through email, he just seemed like he just told me, like, if you need anything, I'm here for you. But I've never met the person in person. I knew who he was, but I'm grateful that he was just willing. He was just so open about helping me or about any question that I had.
Do you remember the person's name or their location?
Yes, his name was Eric, and I think he went by. It was really cool. I forgot. I was like, it tells you that I have a good memory. I just know I think he called Super Eric or something on social media. And I think I eventually made him a friend. I made him my friend on Facebook, but then he disappeared. He was very involved, but I just remember his first name was Eric.
So did Eric connected you to other people, or how did he help your journey to apply for college?
I think he just provided like certain resources, like the Dream Act. I think he had some information about the Dream Act. It was something that was people were saying it was going to happen, and I think he brought it up to my attention. And scholarships, specifically like a list of scholarships for undocumented students. And that was it. Like, I think just he just provided me information with that.
Nice. So, I mean, what are some of the challenges that you faced or have faced growing up because of your undocumented status I mean, it sounds like applying to colleges was a little limited because of your status, right? But I mean, what else has been a challenge because of your status?
Yes, once I started getting closer to graduating, and the question was being asked of, are you going to go to college? And if you're going to college, which college? And I remember my college counselor asking or telling me, like, you need to have this conversation with your parents. And I said, okay. He's like, you have really good grades. You deserve to go to college. And so I just remember talking to my, I guess the only person I like, we just remember talking to my mom and telling her, I didn't even ask her, I just told her, mom, I want to go to college. And I just remember her telling me, no. She told me, you're not gonna go. And I said, why are you not, why are you, like, I worked so hard for these grades and you don't want me to go to college? And I just remember she was crying. And she's all like, it's because I don't have the money to support you. I don't have money and I can't be giving you, like, I know you're gonna, if you go, like, I'm never gonna be able to help you because we're barely surviving with the rent, with the bills that we have on our end. I don't want you to, what's the word? I don't want you to, like, get all caught up in this idea of college when it's not realistic, or at least for me. That was the first challenge I came across. And I just remember telling her, putting my foot down and telling her, I understand you are saying you're not letting me go to college, but I'm gonna go. I don't know how I'm gonna come up with the money. But here I told her, I don't know, I'm gonna steal a bank or something. I'm going to college. And she didn't say no again. She just hugged me. And I told her, I'm gonna figure it out. I don't care. I just really want to go to college. I really, this is the dream. This is the dream. You know, this is what you brought us here for. Lady, I can't not come here and not be someone. And yeah, we just hugged, but she was my first obstacle. And from there, I had the understanding that my second obstacle was going to be money. At the time, the Dream Act was still up in the air. It was, I think it was, it had just, it was going to be passed, or it had just passed. And, like, always, like, when something new comes out for our community, people are like trying to figure it out how it works. So I wasn't relying on the Dream Act. Me puse a pensar, me puse las pilas, and I said, you know what, I'm gonna need money for college. So I started selling chips at school, and I was making money. I started saving, and then the word got across, because you're not supposed to sell chips at school. It's against the law in the school system. And so I remember the word got to my principal, and she's like, hey, I heard you're selling chips. I was like, yeah, Lydia, but I'm not doing it because I just want the money. I want the money to go to college. She's like, okay, do it, but don't let the other principal see you. So everyone was like on my side. They were cheering me on. They were supporting me. I'm telling you, like, there was other teachers that heard that I want to go to college, and that was my last year. Hired me to teach the class and paid me under the table. Another teacher paid for my senior packet, so I didn't have to worry about it, or my parents had, so they didn't have to worry about it. I managed to save some money, and by the time that I graduated, I think I ended up having maybe $2,000, $3,000, Because let me tell you, high school students will buy chips. They're obsessed with chips. And that was, that was the business at that time. It still is, I believe. And yeah, I had my savings once I got out of college. I graduated as a valedictorian of my high school. I got into Berkeley. I believe I got into Riverside. And then I got into Cal State LA. But I had to be realistic. Berkeley did call me to go to their school, and they begged me to go to their school. But I was up in the air. And they're like, oh, it's because the dream is going to come out and they're going to help you. I was like, yeah, but what about everything else? What about housing? What about food? What about transportation? What about my books? What about all of that? I'm not ready. You guys charge a lot. It's a private school. Le dije, and for me to leave my family and do it all by myself, I can't. So I had the conversation. I let go of Berkeley, but Berkeley, I guess I can probably say that I got in, accepted into Berkeley. I came down. It just came down to Cal State LA. I didn't want to be far from home, and I just had to be realistic about that. I had just told my mom that I was going to go to school, and that I was going to figure it out. So if I was going to figure out somewhere in this, state, it was going to be at home. I soon after I just started working. I started working right here next to my house, which is El Mercadito. My uncle talked to the owner because they're friends, and I started working there. And when school started, soon after I started attending Cal State LA.
Nice. It sounds like your mom telling you no, we cannot afford, kind of fire up the desire, right, to hustle and pay for college. Yes. It's, I mean, $3,000 sounds like a lot.
It's like a one semester, I believe. Well, back then it was quarters. That's a one semester to cover one semester. But it was enough to start me, to get me started, and then work and save up again.
Right. Okay. So let me stop here.